This is McGuire on the Wire, brought to you by McGuire Sponsel. We are a national consulting firm aiming to provide facts, advice, and updates on the ever-changing world of tax law. This podcast will give you base-level information as well as high-level thought leadership on how to navigate these technical disciplines. At McGuire Sponsel, we provide unique services to our clients using an old-school, hands-on approach that is deeply respected within the CPA industry. Now stick around and listen to one of our experts. We're glad you're here.
Hello, and thank you for joining us. Today we wanted to talk a little bit about some of the issues going on with taxes at the end of the year. Right now we're sitting here, it's December 19th, 2018. By the time you listen to it, it might be later, it might be, it definitely won't be earlier. But we wanted to talk about some of the things that we're seeing going on as it relates to both tax reform and some other things that have been coming out in the last few days. So as we move forward, one of the discussions with this podcast is how do we push out information in a timely fashion? So that's part of what's going on, because in recent months and years, we've seen a lot of confusion as to how does tax reform affect people. A few years earlier than that, there were questions as to how do the tangible property regs affect depreciation schedules. And so the issue that often happens is it's difficult to get stuff out in a timely manner. So we want to spend a little bit of time today just talking about some of the things that are going on right now at the end of the year, even looking as close as what's going on with a lame duck Congress and what are they looking at passing out over the next couple days prior to leaving. So as many of you know that have listened to this or listened to me in the past, one of the big confusions under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, or the TCJA, relates to qualified improvement property. And just as a refresher, qualified improvement property is non-structural improvements to the interior of a building placed in service after the building's originally placed in service. So in other words, if I go out and I buy a building, or I've owned a building for a number of years, or multiple scenarios like that, I might be leasing a building and being a tenant within a building, and I put in non-structural improvements. So that could be drywall, that could be lighting, that could be acoustical ceiling tiles, that could be flooring systems. That fits under this definition of qualified improvement property. Now, under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the goal of that was to make that a 15-year lived asset. If they had done that, that would have made that bonus eligible, which means that you would be able to write off 100% of it in 2018. Now, due to some wordsmithing that had to be done, the issue with qualified improvement properties, if they had done that, it would have been listed as bonus depreciation in two different spots. So there was a redundancy in the tax law. So to get around that, they tried to remove some of the redundancy. Unfortunately, when they did that, they didn't do it correctly, and they actually eliminated it from being bonus eligible. Basically, they eliminated the definition of qualified real property under the 168K, or the bonus depreciation rules, and they forgot to add qualified improvement property under 168E, or where they define the lives of assets, as a 15-year lived asset. So basically, they screwed up when writing the law, and they left qualified improvement property as a 39-year lived asset, not eligible for bonus depreciation. Now, it is eligible for 179, but not eligible for bonus. Now, everyone has basically admitted that this was a mistake. And, of course, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was written over a year ago at this point, and everyone's admitted it's a mistake, but unfortunately, no one's bothered to fix it as of yet. So now we're sitting at the end of 2018, and everybody's saying, well, what do we do now? So in the last few weeks, there has been some movement, probably the most movement we've seen all year, and it's been related to the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, Brady. And Brady has been pushing forward a bill known as the Retirement Savings and Other Tax Relief Act of 2018. And that bill's been pushed around over the last month or so, and it includes a clarification on this QIP issue. Now, it also included some 179 in the first iteration. It actually included a one-year retroactive extension of the 179D energy efficient building deduction, but that's been removed from most of the later iterations of this. So, but it does include a fix to the qualified improvement property. Unfortunately, none of the bills that Brady has pushed have even come to a vote within the House, let alone in the Senate. Now, right now, we are sitting here on December 19th, and anyone that's been listening to the news knows that there's also some issues with the funding of the government, whether we get a continuing resolution to fund the government, whether there's some spending bills that pass before the end of the year is a big question, because right now we've got some funding issues. So one of the thoughts is this bill might get attached to a continuing resolution or a funding bill. The issue is obviously that the Democrats don't want to push a tax bill going into a year where they're going to take over the House coming into 2019. So right now the Democrats are pulling back, the Republicans are pushing forward. You also have an issue where certain House GOP members have already left if they are not keeping their seats next year. So there's a question as to whether or not this will get passed. A lot of people are saying there's a good chance this will get voted on in the House on either Thursday the 20th or Friday the 21st, but that does not mean it will pass the Senate. So there's a big question as to whether or not we get a fix. The assumption is that the new Congress will take this up as soon as they get back. They will be meeting in early January. But there's still a question of how that looks, because now you're going to see the Democrats, any tax bill is going to push forward some of their agendas, but they still have to get it through the Senate, which will be run by the Republicans at that point in time. So there's a big question as to how this looks moving forward. As of right now, that a lot of people say, what does that mean for tax planning at the end of the year? And the important thing is we don't necessarily know. We don't know whether or not this qualified improvement property will pass or not. As of today, most people have to make the assumption that qualified improvement property will still stay a 39-year non-bonus eligible asset until we see something different coming forward from Congress or the Senate. Now, we might have clarification in January. If we don't have clarification by mid to late January, the assumption is that nothing will happen on a retroactive basis, but we will have to wait and see at that point in time. So that's a little bit of where qualified improvement property stands, and we'll be giving some more updates as the year goes on. The other thing I wanted to bring up today, because it's another recent issue that came up, is on 179D. As I mentioned earlier when talking about the extenders for and the fix for qualified improvement property, under this Brady tax bill that was put out earlier, under the first iteration of it, there was a one-year extension of 179D for the 2018 tax year. That has not been included on the last two iterations of Brady's bill. And so there is a question as to if 179D is coming back for 2018 or 2019. Now, this isn't a discussion of the benefits of 179D or anything else, but I do want to make sure that people are aware, as of right now, 179D does not exist for 2018. But what is also important to know is that in 2018, right in December, the IRS published a legal advice that was actually written, I believe, back in November about 179D. Now, just as a little bit of legal background, it's important for people to know 179D is the energy efficient building deduction, and it is up to $1.80 per square foot in deductions for the installation of energy efficient improvements to a building. And that could be lights, HVAC, or building envelope, and that could be either on a brand new building or a retrofit of a building. And there's certain testing that needs to go through to actually meet that requirement. Now, under the 179D provision, there's an ability to transfer the deduction on a government-owned building, basically anything owned by a state, federal, government agency, or a division thereof. They can transfer that deduction from the government-owned building back to the person or persons primarily responsible for the design. This was a provision in the law basically designed to lower the cost of installing energy-efficient improvement. And the way that's done is basically a transfer letter is written by the municipality, school, government agency, basically transferring that deduction back to the person or persons primarily responsible for the design. Now, because that was always done by a letter, there was a lot of pushback as to what a designer was. And a lot of consulting firms have been coming out and saying, well, if you can get that letter, it doesn't matter. Contractors are eligible for it or something else. And so people were very loose with the interpretation of designer under that provision. And the IRS never meant it to be that way. So they came out with a legal advice issued by the Associate Chief Counsel in late 2018, basically going through some of this. And so they basically wanted to point out what a designer was under these provisions. And they go through some different examples. And I'm not going to go through each example, but I'll paraphrase one or two. And the main thing is they wanted to say, okay, if you have a design-build contract, and with that design-build contract, an engineer is hired by the school board to design a building, and they go out and they design this building, they design the HVAC system on this building, and they say, okay, it's going to be this size HVAC system, it's going to be located here, it's going to move the air this way. Then that engineer actually stamps the drawings and seals it with their engineering seal. That then goes to a contractor who maybe does a little bit of iterations on it. Maybe they can't find the specific model number, but they use one that's basically the same, and they never change the engineering drawings. Under this specific notification from the IRS, that would be considered, the designer would be considered the engineer that stamped the drawings, not the contractor that did that iteration. Now, on the same regard, if the contractor was hired before the engineer stamped the drawings, maybe the engineer just did some preliminary shop drawings, that goes to the contractor. The contractor then uses their own engineer to iterate the drawings down, maybe resizes the unit or something else, and that contractor adds their engineer seal to it, then the contractor can be listed as a designer. But it's important to note that under this notice, they're basically saying some type of specification, some sizing of the unit, some design of that system has to be done by the person taking the deduction. This is critical right now because what we've seen in recent years is almost a Wild West mentality where there is a rush to get the transfer of the deduction from the owner back to a contractor or the installer or the engineer or the architect. And there's been a lot of questions as to what actually constitutes a designer for this purpose. So it is important that people note that there is some guidance now from the IRS. Now, unfortunately, the guidance is coming out after the law is currently expired. But it does show us the way that the IRS is thinking about it and will be looking at these things under audit. Now, as I mentioned, a lot of the stuff today is timing specific. We're going into the end of 2018. We hope everybody has a very happy holiday season, and we look forward to working with you in the new year.
Thanks so much for listening to McGuire on the Wire. Have a question from today's episode or interested in our team covering another topic? Reach out to us at McGuire on the Wire @McGuireSponsel.com.